Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Allow me to read today from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21, New International Version. It says this: "From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We continue in September 2020 in a short series called "This Is Our Church: Being the Church in a Global Pandemic." It's before we continue to consider 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me just begin by making a couple comments. I am so thankful. I feel we have so much to look forward to as we begin to or continue to walk into the month of September. I want to encourage you to join us in our Fort Langley Auditorium for Evensong. If you're listening, you'll hear family and youth and preteen and young adult announcements being shared, our women's network, our men's network. There are so many wonderful ways in which we are able to gather, and I want to encourage you to be in the middle of all that. There's such good days ahead. Let me also remind you that on Sunday, October 4th, we will be celebrating a little bit more formally our Living Waters Church 80th anniversary. We'll hear from former lead pastors Doug Smith, who will be speaking, and a very good interview with Canon Eunice Gallardi. We'll also be releasing a Living Waters Church history booklet. So interesting. A lot has happened in 80 years, and thankful for the narrative work that Doug Smith is doing for us. We look forward to sharing that in just a couple weeks. I was talking with Keith Foss this week, one of our longest standing members. What a interesting story, coming to Living Waters Church as a six-year-old back in 1952. Wow, brought by, his parents didn't come at that time, but he was brought by a neighbor to Sunday school. And now 68 years later, Keith, Janet, and Kathy are such a blessing to our community. Living Waters is history is highlighted by so many great people who have found themselves over the years drawing close to God and being used by God in such awesome ways. And perhaps in this message, I'll be able to share some more historical highlights of the good ways in which God has been with this congregation. Last week, Luke reminded us that our church was founded in 1940, the middle of the Second World War, an obvious time of global concern, the asking of questions about the future, all the uncertainty, the world as we know it was locked down in a world war. Perhaps you did not know that during that war, World War II, God was speaking to two female evangelists, Jenny Sandin and Lorraine Snyder. These are the two ladies who moved in the late 1930s from New Westminster, BC to Langley, and by the early 1940s had worked to establish three church plants: a congregation in Cloverdale, a church called Langley Prairie Church, which is now Christian Life Assembly on 56th Ave, and of course our church, first named Emmanuel Pentecostal Church in Fort Langley. These visionary type leaders and families carried deep conviction. and had more than a belief in God. They had faith that God had a purpose and a plan and a heart to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, even during a world war, even in Langley, while Canadian soldiers, Fort Langley soldiers, fought overseas. Imagine such good people, inspired and led by God to, even during a world war, to move into new neighborhoods where there was not a lot of church presence or ministry, to begin ministries, to start meeting people, to be in new neighborhoods, to be known and to know, to serve, to sing, to read scripture, to pray and evangelize. And friends, this is so important. It was important 80 years ago, and we certainly benefit today, and it's still so important today. For this is really part of the DNA of Living Waters Church: multiplication, the Great Commission, generosity, making room in our hearts, in our schedules, with our resources, making room for God, making more room for God, and making more room for people. There are, as I've said, so many wonderful examples of this in our history book. So many good families, good pastors, good leaders doing the work of the ministry. And how true that is, that God has always found ways to invite people into his work, to serve in neighborhoods and around the world. And friends, I just want to say, I want us to be those people, always willing to answer God's call and invitation to be used, to reach farther and further with the love and message of the gospel. In the text that Ryan read prior to my message, in the text that I read prior to this message, we hear of some deep-seated convictions and commitments shared by the Apostle Paul as he taught the church. And as we read and consider, I think we're able to see some of these deeply rooted convictions in our history. And friends, I believe in this 80th year are needing to be recommitted to in fresh ways. Let's consider this passage. Paul says in verse 16, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." A worldly point of view. The world has a view, an outlook, a perspective. And the world points people in a certain direction. And Paul here is reminding you and I that it's possible for us to have a worldly point of view. I suppose the great contrast could be most easily seen when the world's view contrasts or even contradicts the Word of God's view. For just as the world has a point of view, the Word of God has a point and a view and absolutely directs people in a certain direction towards Jesus and towards one another, with the gospel centering those two realities. As we study this further, the word Paul uses for worldly is not simply a human point of view. Rather, Paul speaks of worldly as a power that is diametrically opposed to God's holy work and spirit. This point of view represents, I suppose, kingdoms and principalities and rulers that are fundamentally at odds with the Word of God. We live in 2020 in a world that is being influenced by an anti-Christ spirit. Now again, let's consider these verses from Paul's perspective and from things we know about Paul from Scripture. In Acts chapter 9, God invaded Paul's life, and his life was never the same again. History tells us that this revelation of Jesus in Paul's life in Acts chapter 9 created a new reality or a new point of view. For Paul, the resurrected Lord changed how he saw the world around him, and Paul would never go back to life as it was before meeting Jesus. So as we read along in his story from that time on, Acts chapter 9 on, Paul became so aware of the conflict between the world and the word, the old and his new, and the new. And so we see in the New Testament how Paul gave himself entirely to this new way, knowing that God is, still is, about the good work of rectifying and reconciling his creation and all people to himself. And he says it this way in verse 18 and verse 19 of our text. And so all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Hear what Paul is saying, based on revelation and experience. The ministry of reconciliation was and is from God. This gift, this ministry of reconciliation, is the ministry of Christ for us, to us, and in us. It's offered to us for us to receive and benefit from. So Paul is saying, open wide the gift of the ministry of reconciliation, a ministry provided by Christ. Don't be at odds with God anymore. Be reconciled with Christ. This gift is waiting to be opened. This serving that Christ has come to do, this ministry, these righteous acts are gifts given by God to reconcile our relationship with him. The gift of mercy, the gift of conviction, the gift of grace, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Gifts waiting to be opened through the ministry of reconciliation. Just last month, Julie was made aware of a check that she had never received, and of course, because of that, never cashed. Believe it or not, it was dated back to 1998, 22 years ago, and it was for $89. Well, she's since made some inquiries, and we're waiting to see what happens, but it doesn't hurt to ask. I suppose in some way, the gift, the ministry of reconciliation, has been there for people since the day of Christ's death and resurrection. Reconciliation is offered. The gift has been there for a long time. Many have come to receive, many have opened that gift, and many more need to. Friends, if there was ever a day that we need to remind ourselves, God has not abandoned his church, this world. And if there's ever been a time and need to remind ourselves of Christ's desire to be reconciled with humanity, it's in our 80th year. For that is why the church was born in the book of Acts and ever since, even in 1940 when Janine Sandeen and Lorraine Snyder moved to Langley. It wasn't out of convenience. It was because of a belief that people need the Lord and that God offers a ministry to every person, young and old. God offers the ministry of reconciliation. So being a church in 2020, being a church in this pandemic, is truly to be a church that no longer looks at anyone from a worldly point of view and receives Christ's ministry of reconciliation. What a great opportunity this fall, 2020, to be a church, to be in right standing with God because of the ministry of reconciliation. I was talking with Darcy McAllister, one of our global workers, this week. So exciting to hear about the church in Hong Kong that him and Leanne are serving at. It's being established. It's reaching. It's helping people. God making himself known in China. Locally, even this past week, a small group of us went down to Marina Park in Fort Langley and participated in a water baptism in the Fraser River. This recording will be shown in our service on October 11th, but but how good it is to hear stories of how Christ is still reconciling people through the ministry of reconciliation, whether in Hong Kong and China, or whether at that is happening in Fort Langley and in Langley. Friends, in this 80th year, I want to encourage you to allow this convicting and convincing work of the Spirit to rest upon us. No longer looking at anyone from a worldly point of view, rather from the Word's point of view, and receiving for ourselves Christ's ministry of reconciliation. Well, Living Waters story. I referenced Jenny and Lorraine. Their story is from the late 30s into 1940s. Let's fast forward 60 plus years to 2004. And after a period of some tougher times at Living Waters Church, the church was numerically smaller for sure, we're introduced to former lead pastor Ken Gilardi and his wife Eunice. His book, Miracles at Living Waters, he shares a bit of his story that also has made its way into that which will be released on October 4th. But hear what Ken writes. Again, this is 2004. It's only 25 years ago. Ken writes this. The first miracle is that we had faith to begin. There were 14 of us that voted to undertake building the new church. We had about $100,000 in the bank, enough property to build upon, the zoning to allow us to build, the promise of some volunteer labor, and the commitment of the district that they would support our application for a mortgage of up to $270,000. And this was three times our annual budget. Together, those monetary pieces came close to the estimated cost of $474,000. And so, in 1999, 21 years ago, a motion to authorize the building of the church was passed on a vote of 14-1. And Ken writes, at that moment, faith was expressed in the hearts of these people. Wow, think about it. 15 people, 21 years ago, carrying conviction and commitment and generosity and faith and courage and passion and purpose, no longer viewing Langley and the surrounding areas from a worldly point of view, rather a Word point of view that reminded them that God had things in His mind to establish His church and to grow His church, and plans unfolded accordingly. You follow that story along. The newer building in Fort Langley was completed in 2004. That's only 16 years ago. In 2010, this is only 10 years ago, the relaunch or replanting of City Lights Church in Burnaby, 2010, with Brett and Natalie Donald, our former youth pastors, and they still pastor at that church today. And then in 2015, the beginning of a new Living Waters Church location at Willoughby, with Ryan and Katrina Bedwell and a number of other families from Living Waters, in a very different community than Fort Langley, in Willoughby, meeting in Yorkson Middle School, and I've been meeting ever since. God has blessed, friends, God has blessed this church over and over again as it has made decisions to grow, to reach wider and further. And so finally, back to Paul's words in verses 19 to 23, he says, and now he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. See, God has given, as Paul has said, God has given the church this message of reconciliation. It's a message. It's something to share. It's a way to act. It's something to be intentional about. Paul says, so we implore you, this is urgent, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Friends, Living Waters Church is in its 80th year. We're three or four generations along in this journey. We must demonstrate our commitment to God in 2020 and in the days ahead by sharing the message of reconciliation, as if God were making his appeal through us. If we do, such good will come such blessing and influence will come to pass. For this has been part of our DNA, and we are invited into this again and again and again. Ken Gilardi references his journey as a carrier of this message of reconciliation this way. Well, it probably started when I was a university student and was working on the construction of the number one highway. I would cross the river on the ferry at Fort Langley and drive by the church on a daily basis. I simply got interested in the church as I drove by. About 25 years later, when I was running my own business, which was going well, I began to hear the call of God for Living Waters Assembly. Most of the company sales were over the phone, and every few months after a phone call in which I made a sale, the thought came into my mind. People are going to hell, and you are just making money. This reoccurred every few months over a period of at least a couple years. I knew it was God's call to Living Waters Assembly. Then, fast forward, then when I was 53, everything changed. One morning in the spring of the year, as I put the phone down after making a sale, once again God inserted another thought into my mind. This time, the message changed. It was, your biological clock is ticking, and if you're ever going to do it, you need to do it now. Ken admits, I knew exactly what this meant. This was never any condemnation. There was never any condemnation in these thoughts, just that steady, gentle prodding of the Holy Spirit reminding me that there was an opportunity that he had prepared especially for me. Ken and Eunice Gilardi, they went all in. They held nothing back. They didn't have a worldly point of view, and they carried a message of reconciliation in their hearts and mouths. And friends, I want to encourage you, as we have told the stories today, to appreciate that our church was started because of a few ladies who looked at the city of Langley and Cloverdale without a worldly point of view. Furthermore, our church was built by a couple who humbly and somberly understood and appreciated the eternal destiny that lies ahead for mankind. And this created an urgency and a need and a priority to respond to those who have never heard nor responded to the ministry and message of reconciliation. Living Waters Church mission statement in the late 1990s was demonstrating and declaring that God's way is the best way. Friends, the history of Living Waters Church reminds us of some very responsible people who took this to heart in prayer, in word, and deed, and worked hard and sacrificially to see people find community and the love and life of Jesus Christ. Two of the present values of Living Waters Church are spiritual formation and the Great Commission. And I would say to live out those values, we must no longer see anyone from a worldly point of view. We must receive the ministry of reconciliation, and we must share the message of reconciliation. Let me say two things in closing. If you're joining today and you're not in a close, growing relationship with God, you need to be. Today is the day to receive for yourself the ministry of reconciliation. For Jesus Christ's death, his burial, and resurrection invite you personally to come to God yourself and to enter into an intimate, reconciled relationship that's full of grace, mercy, forgiveness. Today's your day. What would stop you today from saying yes to this ministry? I encourage you to do so, to do it right now, to ask God to make himself known, to come into your heart and into your life. And secondly, I'd say to our Living Waters community in this 80th year, by God's design, during COVID-19, we are perfectly placed living in neighborhoods all across the Lower Mainland, the Fraser Valley, perfectly placed for God to use us as carriers of the message of reconciliation. Today is the day to be that carrier, Today is the day to care. Today is the day to share your concern, to move and be motivated. And certainly, as a community, we are calling our families together, our kids, our youth, our young adults, our adults. Now is the time to bring people along with you. For the friends, the church is not small. The church of Jesus Christ is far-reaching, able to help so many, and you and I are invited into the story. It's our responsibility to come for God's glory and for our benefit. Let's pray. God, we sense your presence today in illustration, in history. And as you call us along today, God, I thank you so much for the ministry and the message of reconciliation. Thank you that that ministry has found my life and it's changed me. Lord, I know it's your desire for all people to know of your love and of your grace and mercy, and pray that you would come into the hearts of everyone listening today. Come in as a savior. Come in as one who would help and heal and move us along on the best path. Lord, we commit ourselves as a community to you, to being those who will live responsibly in relationship with you and with others. We pray that during this 80th year that Living Waters would discover again your heart, that we would multiply, that we would reach further and farther, that we would be generous, that we would personally and as a group be carriers of the message of reconciliation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.